Thanks for clicking on our podcast. This is John Fraser, and with my partner in wine down in the Cape, Michael Olivier, each week we taste the very best that the Cape has to offer in wines or spirits, whatever tickles our fancy, and hopefully it'll tickle yours as well. And welcome back to Divine Intervention. Today we are in the Cape, we're tasting a Sauvignon Blanc from, I believe, the Constantia region. And to talk us through it, as usual, we have our food and wine expert in Cape Town, Michael Olivier. Hi, Michael.
Hey, John. Hello. Nice to be with you.
Well, thanks. And thanks for yet again sourcing a wine which I had never heard of. I don't think I've ever tasted it. I hope it's good.
It is.
Okay. Well, you paused then. I assume it was shock rather than anything else. And just so you know, Michael, and our many millions and billions of listeners know as well, with me in the Joburg studio, we have a lady from one of South Africa's finest wine dynasties, Jenny Ratcliffe Wright, whose roots go back to the Warwick farm, and I believe you're the representative up here in Gauteng, or you do
yes,
a bit
I
of work
am.
For them.
Yeah.
Jenny, of course, is also a Cape wine master, so should know what she's talking about, unlike my next guest, Jeremy Sampson, who's a nice chap, though.
Hello, John.
And will do most things for a free drink. And finally, our technician, our IT god, better not call him a nerd, Malcolm McDonald. Malcolm, welcome.
Hi, John. Good to be here.
Okay. Well, having insulted or half-insulted most of our guests, Michael, we have a wine, a Sauvignon Blanc 2015 from Constantia Royal. Tell us about it.
Yeah, look, this is a sort of new member to the Constantia Valley. It's a family-owned and managed property, 16-hectare size farm, which concentrates on grapes and olives. They have five separate Sauvignon Blanc vineyards. So the winemaker, Roger Burton, has quite a high, wide choice of sort of picking the grapes at the time of ideal ripeness in that sort of window. It's packed in a screw-cap Burgundy bottle, nice label with a horseshoe on it, which echoes the horse interests of the family. They breed horses as well. In the glass, nice sort of gem bright, a pale straw color with some sort of lime green flashes going on there. What I like about the smell of the wine is it's a classical Sauvignon Blanc, but it's sort of soft and inviting and wants you to take a sip. So they've got sort of a variety of sort of grassy, fynbosy herbs right through to the tropical fruits. I like it because it is soft and because it's so approachable. It's quite mouth-filling. There's lots of sort of canary melon and pawpaw and grapefruit skin oil going on there. And built for food in a major way. Really nice sort of crunchy summer salad, goat's cheese, that kind of thing.
Michael, I'm really enjoying it. As we've said in the past, I occasionally have a problem with Sauvignon Blanc that seems to me to be aggressively acidic or a bit too sweet. It's a great variety that can be made into many different styles of wine. This is elegant. This is nice. And as you say, wonderful food wine, but I'm very happy just sitting here glugging away. But what do I know? Let's go to somebody who I believe has some family links to the producers.
Absolutely. It's quite special to be reviewing this wine because it is, well, I say it's my cousin's wife, my cousin's wine. It's actually my cousin's wife's wine. They own Zornestrol, which is one of the largest farms in Constantia, and started dabbling in grapes a few years ago. And the first time I tasted this was actually in Hermanus on my holiday this year when I was handed a bottle on the beach when I'd just come out of the ocean from a swim. Now, anything tastes good at that point. It's all delicious. But then I gave it a second chance in a more studious environment, and it really is a beautiful wine. It exhibits all the cool climate flavors that you would want from a Constantia wine. Sauvignon Blanc, as John very, very correctly says, comes in so many guises, and there's the tropical, styles, and then there's this beautiful, lean, flinty mineral style that I think is so popular. And I'm very impressed with their wine. They've given us a couple of bottles to taste, stroke drink, and I think they've really done well, and it's a nice newcomer onto the scene.
Malcolm.
Well, I usually think white wines tend to be a bit boring. This has got plenty of flavour, but at the same time, it's light enough and fresh enough that you can just drink it, a lot of it. So I definitely have absolutely no objection to this white wine. In fact, quite enjoying it.
Jeremy.
I'm just reminded of going to a wine magazine, wine tasting, when wine magazines still existed. And halfway through the evening, someone referred to the first six wines as being beach wines, which I thought was a bit unfair. You've just referred to drinking this on the beach. This isn't a beach wine at all. It's far, far superior to that. And I'm not going to talk more about the wine, because people here know more about it than I do. But I find the label a bit disconcerting. You know, that horseshoe, it really is quite a horsey bottle, even on the top of the closure. They seem to be more concerned with horses than wine, but we'll have to see.
And Michael, you said they're known for their olives and their grapes. I assume this wine comes from grapes rather than olives.
Yes, it does. Yeah, they planted... The farm used to have an airstrip, and they planted all their olives there. The vineyards are all planted on the sort of undulating ground around the homestead.
Well, that's useful advice. I've been wondering what to do with the airstrip in my back garden. Now, now, last I know, what a brilliant idea. I shall become an olive oil producer. But, Michael, just going back to the Constantia appellation, obviously it's one of the earliest in South Africa. We've got some wonderful names. But there seem to be more and more producers popping up there, perhaps not on the same scale as Klein Constantia or Groot Constantia or Oetsik, but producing some damn good wines.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you go up Constantia Road, there are a whole lot of little wineries there. I mean, there's Constantia Glen, there's Beau Constantia, and they're all offering something other than wine to attract people there. I mean, Beau Constantia has a sushi box that you can go to. And there's also a bubbly maker up there whose name escapes me at the moment. But, yeah, sure, there are lots of little farms and some not-so-little farms doing really well up there, like Eagle's Nest, etc.
And, Jenny, is I know your own family farm is in Stellenbosch and is one of our favourite producers. We'll be tasting one of the wines from there in a few weeks' time. Is there a lot of rivalry between different South African wine producers, or is it a community?
Sadly, there is a lot of rivalry, and it's just not necessary. If you look at the industry, the pie is big enough, and if everyone worked together, the pie would just get bigger. But if you look at some of the known producers, as you talk about the older families, they do work together in the notion that the pie is bigger. But there's some that obviously don't, but that's every industry. But what I'm finding very interesting now about the industry is it's becoming very polarized in a very good way at the quality level. So there's the top old school producers that have been doing it for 30 to 50 years, producing the icons of South Africa on the one side. And on the other side are the new young guns, the whippersnappers, the mavericks, doing very interesting and quirky things. And what's happening is those two, at the quality level, those two players are working together. So the interest is coming from the mavericks and the young guns, but the quality and the heritage is coming from the old players. So it's an interesting stage in the industry.
Well, moving from young guns to Jeremy Sampson, Jeremy, I noticed you nodding sagely. Do you have any sage words for us?
You see, young people can't nod sagely. That's one of the benefits of age. At least I like to think that.
You put the sage in age, or the age in sage.
I'll have it on the pork, thanks. No, it's interesting. When you mentioned Klein Constantia, I was lucky enough to stay there just before it closed down, which is still very sad, but this was about 2 years or so ago. And it is a very, very beautiful area, lots of interesting things going on there. And just the Constantia cachet, I think, is very important. But as I say, it's not known for horses, it's known for wine.
And Malcolm, Is Constantia an area that brings a smile to your face when you hear it? Because as I think we're all pretty much agreed, they are producing very nice wines, and they also have the advantage of maybe being a little closer to Cape Town for people who are visiting the area but don't have a lot of time, still want a genuine wine farm experience rather than a shop. And as you know, as long as the traffic isn't too bad, you can get there from the centre of Cape Town in quite a short drive.
So I'm fortunately not really familiar enough with the area to know sort of to distinguish well enough. I mean, I do the wine farming when I go down, go and visit all the wine farms, and my sort of prevailing impression of the last time I was down there was it's far too hot. So if someone could do something about the weather, I think that the experience of visiting that area, and especially if it's a little bit closer to Cape Town, is very worthwhile for anyone who visits the Cape at all. So I would just say, you know, everyone needs to go and explore these wine farms. But to come back to your quality point earlier, I think that with the price points that we're seeing, really good quality, whether it's the new type of wines or whether it's the old heritage type of wines, the quality that we're seeing at both on both sides is good enough that it's completely unnecessary to have bad quality wine.
And of course, Michael, yeah. Malcolm was talking about the heat down in Cape Town. There is a very good antidote to the heat, which is known as a nice chilled white wine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or red, or rosé, yeah. Or bubbly.
Yeah, for sure.
Excellent. Well, that, I'm afraid, concludes this particular podcast tasting. But don't worry, we will be back again soon. Just remains for me to remind you that this horseshoe-labelled bottle is from Constantia Royale. It's a 2015 Sauvignon Blanc, and I think we all quite enjoyed it. Michael, Olivier, thank you once again for introducing me to something new. I look forward to tackling the dregs in a few minutes.
Thank you, John. Lovely being with you.
And, of course, to our Cape Wine Master, and every podcast should have a Cape Wine Master, Jenny Ratcliffe-Wright. Great, great to chat to you.
Thanks.
I think the first time on one of our podcasts, but hopefully not the last. Jeremy Sampson, you're always here, but that's because we love you.
Part of the furniture. Thanks, John.
Well, I was about to make a bad joke about joining the cabinet, but it would be a bad joke if you were to join the cabinet. And last, certainly not least, our technical expert, our favourite nerd, Malcolm McDonald.
Thanks, John, I think.
I'm John Fraser, and that was Divine Intervention.